Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, the last time that we talked about how important the last week was going to be for the Boilermakers to really kind of have any kind of shot at a Big Ten title. And you just kind of wanted to see how they would respond after two disappointing losses against Michigan and Wisconsin. And the results were not what we would have hoped or expected. Two more losses to push the losing streak to four, the longest losing streak, I think, in 5 or 6 years now. Definitely the longest losing streak for anybody on the team right now. And they're starting, as like with any losing streak, you're starting to kind of see some trends pop out, and we'll talk about each game specifically. But Sim, kind of just looking at it, and I know there's, obviously there's different areas that we can point to, but to me, like playing two games on the road against two probably NCAA tournament teams. I think IU will get in now with this win, but you score 66 points and 58 points. That's just not going to get it done on the road, man.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to talk about the defensive performance, even the officiating, because there wasn't like it was great. But yeah, I mean that the lack of offensive output that you've been getting is just that's not helping you. That's not helping you out, man. For a team, I think I want to say we averaged like I think it was what 77 a game or something like that. Yeah, I think we averaged like 77 a game. I mean, we score 70. You hit your average on in both of those games, and I think you come out with a win in both of them. If I'm not correct, if I'm not mistaken, because I think Michigan State had they had what 75, and then one had 75, and the other had 76. Yeah, it just like you said, like when you lose four straight like this, to me, like you said, you see trends, and to me, the trends you have to believe. I don't think you have a choice but to believe them, because when you see it repeatedly, it's like, okay, well, maybe this is who, this is what this team is. This is like, what they're capable of. It just, I'm not gonna lie, man, a couple weeks ago when we were having this conversation about how big these four games were, I didn't there was maybe a tiny part of me that thought they would go 0-4. But I genuinely at the forefront of my brain, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see that happening. So it is. I'm not. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a bit in shock. Over just when I look at the totality of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think kind of the most frustrating thing is that, like, you were basically in every game. You can kind of point, starting with the Michigan game, they had the lead with about 10 minutes left. Wisconsin, they had the lead, I believe, at least at halftime early on in that's the second half. Michigan State, they were right there for most of the within like a 6 to 10 points, but it was right there. And then, of course, they were up double digits at halftime
Up
against
12.
IU, and IU starts just on an insane run. So, it's not like that they were just getting blown out and stuff. Like, as bad as they played and went 0-4, if some things bounce their way, they're at least going 2-2, 3-1. Obviously that's not how it happened, but I think that just kind of makes it even more frustrating, just knowing that the games were right there for the taking too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's probably what's more frustrating about it is that like you said, like yeah, obviously going 0-4, but just knowing that in those four games you've allowed those games to get away from you. And prior to that, prior to then, we have been talking about this team and how with the experienced leadership that they have, and you'd mentioned before we started recording about just the degree to which everyone the experience that guys on this team have, with what I think 7 out of the 10 guys having played in the national championship game last year, not just like been on the team, but played in the national championship game last year. It was just, it was that was probably more frustrating about it. I mean, obviously you see the run at IU where it's just kind of like, you know, and they just kind of implode. You see people kind of losing composure. I think it was what at Michigan, Wisconsin just seemed like, oh, well, like all of a sudden we don't want to know how to, we're not going to play defense anymore. Michigan State too. It was like you said, we were in it, but it was like, man, we couldn't make those winning plays, and it was like, how is this happening with a team who we've seen in so many previous instances find a way to stay composed and make the necessary plays, make the winning plays, and come out with wins? That's kind of why I felt like we really realistically weren't going to do any worse than 2-2, because I just figured there were going to be a couple that we were going to be able to just, you know, just kind of thug it out and grab a, you know, grab wins. But what do I know, man? I need to not quit my day job.
And I think like one thing that's kind of really showed is this team needs a Mason Gillis. They need a guy, you know, who's gonna hold players accountable and like Paint, you know, Paint was as open as I can remember him being in a long time in the presser after the IU game, where he basically called out the entire team for essentially lack of leadership and lack of accountability. And I think he was speaking primarily to offensively the turnovers and just defensively like the mental lapse and breakdowns. And you know, you can just kind of see it. There's a lot of, especially on the defensive end, there's a lot of pointing at each other. A lot of guys looking around thinking that they had help, and turns out that the help wasn't there, and it leads to an easy layup dunk, whatever you have it. And so, you know, I think for the first time since at least like the Auburn A&M two games, where like this team really needs some kind of, I don't want to say like a goon or like a guy that'll go out and, you know, kind of be like a enforcer, but they just need a guy that's not afraid to get his elbows dirty, for lack of a better term. It seems like they're just missing a little toughness right now.
You were talking about, you know, you don't know the last time Painter has got called guys out like that, the team out. And the last time I can remember him doing what he did after that IU game was probably, I think it was what, 2018, 2019, that team of Carson, that went to, you know, went to Elite Eight. I think it was after the Crossroads Classic game. They had like the shit beat out of him. And I think he like I remember he went in his presser and talked about how, like, basically guys, like, everyone wants to be like the guy, and people don't want to play their roles. People need to understand that you have a role on the team, blah blah blah. And I think that, like, the next that thing that started off like an 8-game win streak or something like that. So yeah, it's been a while since Painter's kind of got on the guys publicly like that, but I think it was necessary. I think it was warranted, because he's right. I mean, it just defensively, you seem so disjointed. We seem so disjointed. Even if we, you know, a guy get the opposing team passes the ball into the post, you know, we do our post trap, and you're supposed to have some help and rotation on the backside of that, and that's not there. Then all of a sudden, guys are getting, you know, they're getting wide open looks. You know, defensive possessions, you're not securing the rebound, and now they're getting second and third chances. I think that happened in both IU games multiple times. Yeah, there's just like there needs to be a level of accountability, and leadership that we're just not seeing from this team right now. And it seems more so like a recent development, which is kind of what I guess I could say glass half full of, like, why I don't think it's like, you know, like cancerous without the team or whatever. But yeah, please turn. I just, you know, we need him to turn that around
And
right now.
Paint even highlighted that in his presser too, like saying that the issue is not any type of selfishness or anything like that. Like it's a very unselfish team, almost to
A
a
fault.
default. Like
Right.
you almost want to see some guys be more selfish. But yeah, definitely was an interesting presser, and if you haven't had a chance to watch it, I would definitely recommend it. Because you know, not only that, but he just has some very interesting thoughts about the IU head coaching search, about some of the fouls and switch of fouls that happened, that we'll kind of talk
Oh,
about a little
Lord.
bit when we talk about the IU game, but
I forgot
definitely
about that.
recommend checking that out. But let's talk about the Michigan State game first. So when we talked last time, we talked about how important of a game this was, as it was the only time these two teams were playing. So, it would kind of be one of those swing games, where maybe if you're not going to win the Big Ten, it would definitely have major implications on like second or third place, and at least give you that double bye also. And Michigan State ends up winning 75 to 66. A game, like we said, they were basically in control the whole time. They had, the lead around 6 to 10. I don't know if Purdue ever got it real closer than that. And the main thing to me about this game was you score 66 points. Trey gives you 24, Braden gives you 17, the rest of the team combined gives you 25. And that's just not going to get it done, man, on the road against the top 10 ranked team in the country. Like, we've talked about how you needed those guys to step up. And if you're not going to get it from Fletch, who only finish that game with 8 points, you needed other guys to step up, and honestly, nobody did, and that's why they lost.
Right. No, I mean, like, we were talking about before we recorded. Look at the box score, and you see Michigan State. It's funny, we have both teams who had both teams play 10 guys, 8 of them scored. Obviously, you broke down how lopsided ours was in terms of, between the lion's share being with TKR and Braden. But then you look at Michigan State and just 9, 9, 10, 12, 7, 7, 10, 11. Like, that's 8 guys who not just like who didn't just like, oh, they got a bucket, they got several baskets, getting that contribution. And like you said, man, like and particularly with this stretch, but also if you want to be one of those elite top teams, not just in your conference but even nationally, you need to be able to put up points, and you need to be able to lean on other guys to be able to contribute. And I mean, for me, like the biggest thing that stuck out when you pointed this stat out was the fact that Fletch only had 8 points, but he only had 5 shots, and he had 5 shots, and CJ Cox had 4. I mean, for me, I don't want like I can't I don't think it bodes well for us if Fletcher and CJ have the same number have around have basically the same number of shots. I think feel like Fletch needs to be shooting at least 10 times a game minimum. Because I mean, if he has 16 and not just if he just doubles his shit and goes to 16, it could be a whole different ball game. I mean, yeah, it only I mean like actually total points it leaves us within one, but just in terms of the way that those points are the timing of when those points are scored, and just how they can impact the game, and just how how maybe by default Michigan State has to make some adjustments in terms of how they play us. Because if he's a bit more active throughout the game and he's just kind of scoring more throughout the course of it, Michigan State's gonna have to pay attention to him. It just, yeah, man, it just, you need to be getting more from guys, just flat out. You need to be getting more from guys. And we've, you and I, we sat here and we've talked about it week in and week out about the getting more from guys and getting consistent contributions. And you just didn't get that with Michigan State. And so, fittingly on the road in that type of environment, yeah, you're probably going to lose.
And so then after that loss, you get ready. We knew that the game against IU wasn't going to be easy, either. All you had to do was watch the game in Mackey and know that it was going to be a tough game. IU gave Purdue everything that they could want at Mackey. So you knew at Assembly Hall that it was going to be tough. I think IU just kind of a tough matchup in general, especially with the athletic bigs that they have, was just a recipe, especially the second half. But the and it really was a tale of two halves. IU ends up winning 73 to 58, But it was a game that Purdue finished the first half on a 21-4 run to go into the locker room at halftime up by 12, I believe. And then, man, I don't know what Mike Woodson said to the team in the locker room at halftime. If they had some of that special juice from Space Jam or what happened. But IU came out on just with their hair on fire, man, and just blew the doors off this game. And really, stuck it to Purdue. And I would argue Purdue kind of really just didn't answer the call, man. I don't even know. Obviously, it's kind of easy to point out Braden and Trey as like the two guys, because those are your two best players. So you're going to go as far as those two guys go. And they both really struggled. But the team in general, man, like that was a pretty disappointing second half, to say the least.
Yeah, man. Like you said, like it's easy to point the finger at Braden and TKR, but the whole team just looked rattled, shell shocked in the second half. It was like honestly, it was like a Purdue, it was like a Temu version of Purdue who was out there. It was like when they were, yeah, because they're up 12, and I remember at the end of the first half, like because it almost seemed like in the first half they just like kind of switched it on. Like IU was kind of scrapping around, yeah, but had the lead, and then all of a sudden it was like Miles hit, I think he hit a jumper. Cam hit a three. Miles hit a three, and I think he hit another three, and then I think Fletch splashed a three as well. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh shit, like we're up 12, and I'm thinking for a second, I'm like, wait, are we about to run him up out of here? And then reality kicked in. I was like, no, probably not the case, but
And they
so
seem
they
to
come
have
out.
their swagger back too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it was just the way that it looked aesthetically on both ends, because obviously it wasn't like they just rattled off 21. It was a 21-4 run, so they were getting stops on the other end as well. So I was like, okay, well, like maybe we've actually like kind of snapped out of this thing, and like, yeah, okay, we can kind of get back to this shit. And then so IU comes out in the second half, like you said, came out hair on fire. But when they scored the first like 5, maybe 7 points, I was like, all right, like here we go on some bullshit. But like, yo, tighten up and let's fucking go. Like it's close now, but okay, cool. Like this is what we like. I guess this is what it is now. And it was like everyone just blinked under the lights. Everyone did. I mean, just not knowing. It was like not knowing what to do with the basketball. Not like making panic passes. I mean, it was so odd to see. It was so odd to see. And we talked about it before. I believe before we got on here, but about how many times over the last, I'd say just we'll just stretch out like the last decade, have we seen Purdue teams in the second half pull away from teams? Like they'll go into go up to like go into the half up like 6 or 8, and we all be sitting there and be like, yeah, like we're good to be up 6, blah blah blah, but we could do this better, this, that, the other. And then they come out in the second half and outscore the team by like 14, and all of a sudden it's a 20 piece, and like it's stress free basketball, and it just. The way that happened, 28-2 run right out of half. Like by the time it was over, it was like, all right, well, shit. Like, I mean, there was time left, but it was like, fuck, like this, it didn't seem like it didn't seem like there was a way Purdue was going to come back. And that just, I didn't see that coming, man. I didn't see that coming.
The
It just, yeah,
crazy
it was
thing for
bad.
me is, like, if you look at the stats, IU was 4 of 19 from three. So it's not like they were just,
Right. They didn't just
ripping the
start shooting the
nets.
right. Wasn't like Wisconsin, where Wisconsin just went like and just was sizzling.
Now they dominated inside the paint, and essentially got whatever they wanted inside the paint. But to your point, kind of about how the team kind of just panicked, every single player on the team except for Cam Heidi and Riley Burgess, who played 2.5 minutes, had at least one turnover. Every single player.
Crazy.
So that's why, like, when we say, like, yeah, Braden and Trey didn't have their best games, that's true. But nobody else played well either.
Right.
Outside of Fletch, probably. I mean, you could argue Fletch came to play, and was due one of those games. But literally every single player, every other player had at least one turnover in the game.
When was the last time Trey had less than 10 points?
That's been a while, I would think.
Right? Like I would be surprised if he hasn't all this year. Like I would say that.
I'll even do you one better. When was the last time both Trey and Brayden scored less than 10 points?
I would imagine it was sometime last year. Like,
Because usually if one is having an off night, then the other just goes off.
Yeah,
But
that just.
I did want to also just kind of talk and say, you don't lose a game by 15 and for just one specific reason. So I'm not blaming the officiating for Purdue losing. However, there has to be something done about how poor the officiating is in the Big Ten. And just like in, I'm not even saying like fouls, but like just be consistent. And in Purdue games alone, in the past 2 weeks, we've seen essentially the same thing happen, and it's been two different outcomes. So in the Purdue Wisconsin game, you have a Wisconsin player, Nut Tap, who was
DKR.
that? I can't even remember. Who was it?
Pretty sure it's Trey.
Was it Trey?
Yeah.
To me, it looked like there was some intent, but I could see it going either way. Give them a flagrant two, the Wisconsin guys out of the game. In this game, there is a foul called on Anthony Leo. A foul called first, which stops the play. They go back and look at the monitor and see Anthony Leo kick Caleb first in the nuts. They somehow not only retract, or I'm sorry, not only give a flagrant foul, they retract the initial foul that was called on Anthony Leo, which I'm pretty sure is not allowed. I'm fairly confident you can go to the monitor to look and see if a foul needs to be upgraded, but you cannot downgrade a call.
Right, you
Correct me
can't.
if I'm wrong,
Right.
but Jeffrey Anderson did that. And I don't know, man, like to not call anything on that. Even a non-biased color commentator on the game was shocked. So before like anybody says, "Oh, you're just a Purdue homer," the guy calling the game said that Leo was going to get thrown out. And then you have the play with Trey in the second half, where I believe it was Trey Galloway, I think was defending KKR in arguably Trey's, what they call it, is cylinder. And he takes an elbow and they give Trey a flagrant foul on that, which I still don't know what you want Trey to do. But as Purdue fans, we've seen bigs called for that longer than I care to remember. And I still don't know like what you want bigs to do in that situation when they're just
He's
like
going
I
up for a
think
shot. He's going up for a
Paint kind
shot.
of explained that he was going for his hook shot. It's not like
Yeah.
he was throwing an elbow on a rebound. You've got to know this situation. But man, that call on Leo to not upgrade it to a flagrant and then to just completely revoke the foul as well. Not only was it a terrible call, but it was what, like a minute into the game, had huge implications on the rest of the game, man.
Yeah, I mean, because Leal's impact on the game, I mean, what did he finish with? He had 8 points, four assists, five rebounds. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that happened within like the first like 5 minutes of the
Three
game.
steals, too. He had three steals, all of which came in that run.
Yeah, hell, but blocked two shots too. I mean, he really filled the stat sheet. he's not in the game, so he's not able to do that. Like, he's not able to have that type of impact. I couldn't. Yeah, man. When I was glad Paint talked about it with Trey's, because when I saw it, like you said, if you're watching the play, it's very clear. Like, he gets the ball in the post, and the main defender is basically giving him the baseline. So, like, he catches and he makes his move. Like, as you go up, the arms are gonna go, like, your arms go up, elbows come with it. And how can you look at that? And even though Trey Galloway's coming over to double team, how can you look at that and say, like, it's some level of unnecessary contact, I guess, up to the face? Because, like, if Trey's going up for the shot, like, what's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to wait and check first? Oh, Trey, you're here? Cool. Okay, I can't hit you in your L. I can't, like, oh, let me make sure I miss your face now. Like, I don't know. I don't get how that was called. And like you said, the Leo one was just like not even just maintained as a regular foul, but just say like there's nothing. I think when you watch the tape back, like, it very much so looks like there was intent with what he did. So, I mean, how you don't see that and don't just at least hold firm, I don't get that. But jeez, man, like, I'm with you, man. Like, when it comes to the officiating, you just want it to be consistent on both ends, and we haven't seen that. I feel like too, when you're talking about perimeter defense, I think there have been a lot of teams who are allowed to be more physical with our guys, but then, like, if a guy gets like half a step on Miles or like Cam driving to the basket, and they check him or whatever, then all of a sudden that's a foul. But I feel like when Braden will do the same thing, or Fletch will do the same thing, there's no foul call. I mean, don't shit that we didn't. You didn't even bring up Cam's last two fouls against Michigan State, especially the fifth one where the dude wasn't even boxing out and he gets called for an over the back, which fouls him out. Like, I mean, it hasn't been great this year. It hasn't been great. I feel like the conversation about officiating has been going on for a while now. Shout out to Joe. These last this this year and I and specifically these last couple games have been some of the most questionable officiating I think we've seen. But like you said, it's not the reason why Purdue has lost these games. It is not.
Yeah.
But
And I think to piggyback off of what you said, the other one that drives me crazy are the moving screen calls.
yes.
Because those, for whatever reason, Purdue seems to be called for way more moving screens than any team I've ever seen in college basketball. And like, guys are just allowed to run into the guys hitting the screen, which of course is going to make him move. Like, he's not a freaking brick wall. So, like, if you get run into, you're going to move. And for some reason, that's called on the offense, at least it seems like on our side, way more than, like I said, like any other team I've seen play. And like, there's just no consistency there with that call. And it seems like if a guy runs into a screen, flails his arms up in the air and falls, the referees are gonna reward that and call it for like a moving screen. Like, I don't know, man. We gotta do something about that because it doesn't directly impact games, but man, it can impact plays, which, is almost like the butterfly effect.
It can
And
change the way you
so
play a game. The way that a game is officiated, it can change the way that you play a game. And like you said, sometimes I feel like when I watch these games, you can almost sense when they're gonna call a moving screen. Like, whether or not it was actually a moving screen or not, sometimes you can just tell. You can just tell, like you said, if a guy hits it, runs into the screener and he throws his head and flies and really accentuates the contact, other way. Like, you can just book it. And there's certain people out there, there's certain individual refs who you just kind of know, like, all right, cool, take Purdue's opponent and the points, or probably at this point, take their opponent, and to cover.
realize.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm glad we were able to get that off our chest, because that is a major issue, and I don't know how you fix it completely, but I do know there's got to be more accountability for the officials. And even Paint joked it, like, maybe he'll be on that committee this off season. And
Yeah, he said that's the only committee he has to be on.
I would bet money that he ends up being on that because I think he has one, he's a very highly respected coach, and two, he has some choice words, I believe, for the way that his team specifically has been officiated. And so if I was a betting man, I would bet that Coach Payne is going to be on that one this offseason.
Yeah.
Just a guess.
Right. Then it'll be Purdue gets all the calls.
But as we kind of look ahead, to really, I mean, there's three games left in the year. But I did just want to highlight a couple of things. I didn't want everything to be doom and gloom, on this podcast. So I did want to highlight, I don't know, if Sim, you've had a chance to see, but I believe he's the lone recruit next year. High school recruit, I should say, because we'll see what happens come the off season as far as the transfer portal and just with the way that college athletics is evolving. But Antoine West out of Ohio, Whitmer High School in Ohio, and in the last game of the year, he set the school record for points.
I didn't realize it was the last game of the year. That's pretty dope. The last home game of the year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Last home game of the year. So just wanted to highlight that, that's pretty neat for him. Kind of how it'll impact Purdue and, not to look too far ahead, but I know everybody kind of loves looking at like who you got coming in. And this guy kind of screams of a kind of Matt Painter type guy, kind of an under the radar type guy. I think he's a three-star recruit, had some mid-major offers, but he can score. And he kind of seems like one of those guys that is going to be like, man, Purdue found another one. Just kind of a guy that's a winner, and plays the game the right way. Just a Matt Painter type recruit.
Can he bring his offense now? Oh man.
We
No, I
could
mean that's
definitely use.
anytime you get a guy who has that, like who has, sets the record for their school in scoring. I mean, you like the prowess of what they could do, what they could do at the college level. I am thinking of a few people who didn't pan out that way, but I won't mention them by name. But yeah, man, but yeah, I saw some highlights of him, and he kind of looked like he was scoring at all levels, whether it was getting to the basket, hitting, some jumpers or whatnot. And so yeah, I hope too he's able to create his own shot, because that's kind of something that's also lacking from us right now. But again, we won't get into that because we don't want it to be all doom and gloom, like you said. But yeah, shout out to Antoine West, man.
So wanted to give him his flowers there. And kind of just one last thing before we look ahead to these last few games. I know kind of it's tough after a four-game losing streak, but I did just want to point out, like, bigger picture, I hope that fans kind of are appreciating the basketball that they're seeing. Because one thing that kind of stood out to me pretty wild, I don't know if this has happened at a school in a 2-year time frame, like how it's going to happen here. But within last year and this year, Purdue is going to have a new record setter, school record in rebounds and points and assists. I can't think of any school that's have. I'm sure it's happened somewhere, but between Edie last year breaking the rebound record that Joe Barry Carroll had and the scoring record that Rick Mount had, and then Braden here. If it doesn't happen this week, it'll happen next week. But he will set the record for assists, which was previously held by Bruce Parkinson. Just kind of want to remind everybody that even though right now in the moment things aren't going very well, take a step back and just kind of appreciate like the history that you're watching too, because we're watching some of the best Purdue players to ever play the game right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good call out, man, because yeah, for what the minus what these last couple weeks have been, the last yeah, the last I'd say last 3 years have just been it's been a lot of good basketball, a lot of good basketball, a lot of wins. And like you said, we've been watching some special Purdue players put up numbers that are gonna be around for a while. So yeah, it's just as mad as we might be about the present, like the real present of Purdue basketball. I mean, what has transpired leading up to this point, and even you know, and what transpired leading up to this point has been really good. And so you should kind of lean on that as like a no, we're gonna get back to like more of we'll hopefully get back to more of that here shortly. And that might not necessarily be this year. But you know, just in terms of the overall picture of Purdue, like Purdue really is, like you said, in more of like a golden age of the basketball product. So, yeah, man,
Yeah,
just a good call
just
out.
wanted to highlight that, you know, there's been a lot of negativity on Twitter and a lot of upset fans, and you know, you have the right to be upset if you know, but just, you know, kind of to take a step back and just enjoy everything as well. But Sim, as we look ahead, man, like it sounds crazy, but there's only three games left in the season before Big Ten tournament play. And starting Friday, the UCLA Bruins return to Mackey, so that'll kind of be a cool game to have them back. That's always fun when they come back, and you know, with the history with John Wooden and everything there. So that'll be fun. And then you got your last home game of the year with Rutgers next Tuesday. And then you end the regular season a week from Friday at Illinois. So just kind of looking at these three games in general, you know, I think kind of how we talked about, I'm gonna try to spin it this in a positive way. You know, how we talked about how these last four games, Purdue has been right there. And so I don't think it's the end of the world. You know, like Purdue is the worst team in the Big Ten. They're not going to make the tournament. You know, there's still goals that you have that you can still achieve. I'll say it that way. You know, obviously, you're probably not going to get the regular season title. But you can still make a run in March, and you know, it can kind of be like how you talk about the team a few years back with Carson and Ryan Smith when they made their Elite Eight run. I'm not saying that Purdue is going to make it that far in the tournament, but that was a team that wasn't, you know, like highly ranked don't year. But got hot at the right time. So, you know, there's still a lot left on the table. I don't think the season's over by any means. But on the flip side of that, you need to see some improvements. And, you know, specifically with I was on the defensive side of the ball, you got to do better defending the paint. And you got to take care of the basketball.
Yeah, like you said, there's plenty of meaningful basketball that's left for this team. Like you said, probably the regular season is out of the question, but there's nothing stopping you from no one says it's like it's against the rules to you know to turn this thing around and then all of a sudden, you know, win the next what eight or whatever and you know get yourself a Big Ten you know conference championship. Like you're fine doing that. There's still plenty of meaningful basketball for guys to play, and I think too because of that for the quote unquote the others especially those not named Braden Fletch and TKR, that means that there's still time for you guys to be able to you know to turn things around and to get kind of to get back on the right track. This Purdue team, yeah, well, you know, it's had some stumbles. Obviously, talking about now even with the 4-game losing streak, but you know, earlier this year, you saw when they lost back to back against A&M and Auburn, like the, you know, there was, albeit the schedule was easier afterwards than it was, you know, the last time they. but now you saw the resiliency that this team could have in terms of being able to turn things around, and that accountability and that attention to detail. And I think, yeah, Friday's the perfect opportunity. And I think you'll see it more. Hopefully we see it on the defensive end, like you said, just not getting beat off the dribble. And then, you know, being able to finish out possessions by getting rebounds and not giving teams two and three chances. Because, you know, if you find yourself playing defense for the better part of a minute, there's a strong chance that the team that you're playing is going to end up with a basket. So yeah, man, just gotta keep kind of eye still eyes excuse me, everything, like everything you want is in front of you. But it just kind of like, I think now we know this ceiling maybe is just a bit lower than what we had thought it was like a couple weeks ago. But you never know, man. You get hot a few games, and teams can make deep runs.
Yeah, and the one other thing I'll be really interested to see, and not only how they finish this year, but kind of how does it springboard them into next year?
Right.
And that's the play of Miles and Cam. I feel like we kind of always, somehow we find our way back to talking about them because I think they're probably two of the biggest X factors within this team. And they both have started to kind of come around a little bit. Cam was, I think, was 2 of 3 from three in the Michigan State game, hit that big three, like you talked about, on that run in the first half against IU. And Miles played one of the best halves he's played in a really long time in that first half against IU. Really curious to see, like I said, not only for like how they finish this year, but if Miles and Cam can get going and finish this year strong, you have a totally different outlook looking ahead towards next season as well.
Yeah, man. That's if for nothing else, it's just about getting to a point where you're in terms of you're able to find some consistency in your game and something that's really good to go into the off season on and build on to really make a jump. I always think about what was it with Jaden Ivey and about how he was struggling during his I think his yeah during his freshman year, and it was that Ohio State game where he hit that game winning three, and he talked about after the game about how like that was the moment when he talked about how he'd been starting to doubt himself about whether or not he could play at this level and be great. And when he hit that shot, like just the confidence he had to take it, and just the feeling of that he had afterwards was just kind of like a reassurance of like, yeah, like I can be good. I can make an impact type stuff. And obviously we saw what happened with him from there. But and I'm not saying that necessarily can be was going to be what happens with Miles and Cam, but if they're able to kind of get some stuff figured out to where next year they're two guys who are coming off the bench and each likely giving you 8 to 10 points a game, that'll be huge. And we'll sit back and we'll think about this stretch of the season as like, hey, well, yeah, they were struggling, but then like that they kind of turned it on towards the end of the year, and then like it's just great that they've been able to kind of carry that over. So I look at that for them. I look at it the same for like Raleigh and Jakari and CJ. Again, these minutes, they all mean something, because while it might not pay immediate dividends this year, in terms of the hardware you're able to take home, it can set you up really, really well for next year. Really, really well for next year. So yeah, I want that for them real bad.
Yeah. And I will say this as they've had kind of this, I guess, quote unquote, mini bye and week off to get ready for UCLA on Friday. I would not have wanted to be at practice this week.
Boy, oh boy.
I can't imagine that it has been very fun. And on the flip side, I can't imagine that UCLA is really like looking forward to coming to Mackey and facing, a team like Purdue that, needs a win in the worst way. They probably are like, man, couldn't they have won just one of those games last week? Yeah, just to go back, I can't imagine that practice was very fun at all this week.
Yeah, practice, film. I can't imagine none of that stuff was fun, because people were probably getting called out left and right. I don't know how much they probably ran, did defensive drills. Yeah, like you said, it couldn't have been nice. UCLA. Yeah, I mean, you know what's interesting is you were talking about how, you don't want to necessarily want to be UCLA for Friday, just because talking about the team and how I'm sure they're gonna be itching to get back out on the court. But shit, I would argue the fans too. We're all frustrated. Like we lost four straight. And we as badly as the players want to be able to turn this thing around. We as fans want them to as well. So I can see just an incredibly loud. And extra hostile environment for UCLA because obviously we want to get back on the winning track, man. So
I hope so.
again, Purdue, if you want to do what you did against Michigan or Nebraska, that's straight.
We
Water under the bridge if you do that,
could use one.
Right.
Again, though, that game will be Friday the 28th, home against UCLA, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. So be sure to check that out. Before we wrap everything up, I did just want to give a quick shout out to the Purdue baseball team, who just wrapped up second straight four-game sweep. So they are now 8-0 to start the early season. A four-game sweep against Niagara. Obviously, anytime you can start the season 8-0, that's great. I don't really care who you're playing. But I thought that this stat was just kind of interesting that this sweep of Niagara was the first time since 2005 that Purdue swept a four-game series versus the non-conference opponent that went to the regional the previous year. I won't pretend to know a lot about Niagara's baseball roster. But I think that anytime you can win four games against a team that went to a regional last year,
Seems pretty good.
to start your year, is a good way to start the year.
Right. No, I agree with you, man. I'm not gonna sit here and say I'm an expert on it as well. I don't have my ESPN notification set up for Niagara yet, but yeah, you win four games against a team like if you win four games, like you said, against a team that just went to the regional last year. Yeah, I feel like that could bode well for you. So we'll see what happens. What they play Akron next. We got another four gamer against them. So, yeah, I mean, please, some whatever other Purdue teams want to win in our time of need, please do.
Yeah, so shout out to the baseball team. They are one of, I think I saw 17 teams left in the country that are undefeated in a baseball. Just wanted to give them a quick shout out there and good luck to them this week as they head back down to Holly Springs, North Carolina, like you said, to take on Akron in a four game set. Good luck to them. Good luck to the basketball team. Like you said, we need a win in the worst way. Hopefully, Mackey is just rocking and, giving the team all the support that they need. It will be nice to be back home, and play in front of your home crowd. And yeah, man, we will see what happens as the Boilers return home to take on UCLA on Friday night. You can catch that game on Fox, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And then after the game, you can listen to Sim and I break it all down, hopefully talk about a win. But win or lose, we will discuss it. We might have to have a drink or two, but we will still be there to break it all down. Want to thank everybody for listening. Please continue to give us a five-star rating, share with all your friends. But most importantly, everyone, boiler up.
Yes, sir.
Come on.